Okay, so we are in Sefer Shoftim, Book of Judges, Chapter 20. And we're really in the middle of a very difficult story. The story of the Pilegish Begiva, the concubine of Giba. So in the last chapter, in Perek Yotes, the episode that actually involves the Pilegish, this woman, this concubine, unfolded. And the quick summary is that there was a man, he had this wife. We talked about a little bit what a Pilegish is, but we'll call her a wife, you know, for what a concubine is, a kind of wife. And they were visiting with her family, and on their way back home, they got stuck, basically, traveling. Night fell, and they had to stop in a city in Giva, which is in the tribe of Binyamin. And nobody was welcoming them in, nobody would invite them into the house, until a certain elderly man came by, and he invited them, and they went to the house, and then an angry mob came and was banging on the door and demanded that they actually send out the man, where that they could molest him, rape him, whatever they were interested in doing, and he and his host ended up offering up the woman instead. That appeased them, and they had their way with her all night long, and in the morning, she was still alive. She came crawling back to the doorstep, and she died on the doorstep. And the man in the morning came out, and he found her that way, and he was very upset. At first, he didn't realize she was dead. When he did, also a perplexing thing, he cut up her body, and he mailed it, shipped it around all of Israel to the different tribes to show them, look what the people of Giva did. Look at, I guess, you know, he would have had to send a message with it, what happened. And that was the end of chapter 19, the very last verse. The very last two verses, it says in Pasuk Chaf Tes, in verse 29, Yavo Abeso, and he came to his house, Vayikach Hasham HaHeles, and he took a knife of some sort, Vayach HaZek B'Pilakcho, and he held her, Vayinat Cheho Ra'atzameho, and he cut her up by her bones, the Vishnemasar Nesachim, into 12 pieces. Very graphic, by Yishalchel, before Gvul Yisrael, and he sent her all around Israel. The Hayachol HaRoeh, and it was anyone who saw this, the Omar, and he would say, Lo Niyasa, Lo Nirasa Kazos, there's never been and we've never seen anything like this. L'miyom HaLosh B'nei Yisrael, the Eretz Mitzrayim, from the day that the Jewish people went up from Egypt, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day, pay attention to this. Take advice. Speak of it, and really respond to it. So there's additional background that I just mentioned. Also, we talked about before. But this episode, even though it appears at the end of the Book of Shoftim, actually happened, according to I think all commentaries, right at the beginning of the period of the Shoftim, when the Jews first entered the land of Israel, after the death of Yehoshua, I think some learn even during the lifetime of Yehoshua, it was during that time period, the first 15 years or so after they leave the desert and enter the land of Israel, that this occurred. So this statement that, you know, we've never had something like this since we left Egypt. So it hasn't been, you know, it's been a while, but it hasn't been so long, in relatively speaking. The other thing we asked, which we discussed, was was this concubine, a proper upstanding person or not? Was the man an upstanding person or not? And we saw varying opinions on that. The very beginning of the chapter of chapter 19 has a statement that batizna of a pirag, so that the pirag asked this concubine was nizane on him. Nizane usually refers to adultery or some kind of illicit sexual conduct. So that would imply that she wasn't, from the very beginning, she wasn't really, your biggest tzadeke, the most righteous individual. And that might, I don't know about justify, but help us understand why he would have been willing to send her out. You know, it's definitely not chivalry. It's not, to send her out, but if she, or why she maybe deserved, we can't judge, but why Hashem would judge her that way, that this would happen to her. But the Gemara seems to imply that this word batizna doesn't mean actual zinus, illicit conduct. Rather, it means that she left the house, he got angry at her, and we discussed that. So there's different approaches in the commentaries as to was she a bad person or not, as well as this man that we're talking about. There were also, we saw varying opinions. We saw, on the one hand, Yitzchak Isaac Sher said that, look at what he did. Of course this was a terrible person, and he's really the problem here. The man is the problem. Like, what kind of a guy, does he send out his wife instead and then cuts her up, and he's the one at fault. On the other hand, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a tshuva, in a halachic response, them actually brings the proof from here that, he learned based on a Tosfos that this man was a kosher. He was an upstanding person. There's different implications for why he would learn that way. And Rav Moshe Feinstein actually learns from this story that if you need to make a statement on a grand scale for halachic reasons, or if you need to evoke a response, then you're allowed to use the, in a way, menavel and amaze, or not, he doesn't say, actually, he was talking about, he was asked about a case where they were performing autopsies in Israel, and they were going to make a rally to protest autopsies, because we understand that is a improper treatment of a dead body, and they asked for Moshe, would they be allowed to take already cut up body parts from a morgue, from a hospital, and just put them on display at this protest in order to really drill home to the people of the country how disgusting this is, what kind of treatment this is for a dead body. That was what they asked. And the Moshe brought a proof from here that you could, because this man, he understood that he was a proper person, and we can learn from his actions, and he sent the body parts around the country in order to evoke a response in the people. And therefore, certainly here, where they weren't actually going to be the ones to cut up the body that they were using in the protest, they were going to take bodies that had already been mutilated or, cut up, and they were going to take some existing limbs, then he said, then all the more so you should be allowed to do that, and perhaps if it's going to actually have, if we expect it to have the desired effect, then you would be obligated to do that in order to protest this sin, this aveira that's being committed.
So even saying that what this guy did here was proper.
Yes.
Sometimes I was thinking when you were saying nothing like this ever happened before.
No, not the cutting up. They.
No, I understand what he said in that case. By implication, because before he started saying that, I have a question that he asked whether nothing like this has ever done.
Never will happen.
Today is they left Egypt, went back to bury aid the rape and murder, and or the cutting up.
Right. So I think simple understanding Pashut that is definitely that it's referring to the rape and murder. And he was trying to get a response out of the people, which he did, as we'll see. Yeah, so that's the question. So So, as I mentioned, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher understands that he was a terrible person and he didn't have the right to do this, and this was a disgusting act to do this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he infers from a Tosfos that, no, that Tosfos understood this, that this man is a kosher, he's a good person, and we can learn from his actions that this is a okay and perhaps commendable thing to do. Where Cheskas Kasher, he maintains, you know, his status.
This is territory of Benjamin encompassed the area that had been Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, so I don't know. But there is a comparison. The story is very similar to Sodom, and we spoke about that last time. Actually, the Ramban already in Parsha Vayera, where the story of Sodom happens, he compares and contrasts these two stories. Why wasn't Giva destroyed in the same way that Sodom was if they did a seemingly similar thing? So he draws distinctions. In Sodom, it was everyone in the town. It was a way of life there. It was, you know, just a corrupt society, as opposed to here, it was a select group of people that did this, and it would seem to be out of desire, and not necessarily like, you know, automatic, anyone who comes to town, they're going to do this to. It was a one-time thing, and that's why they weren't destroyed. We're going to see in this chapter what the response actually was. So that's the introduction. Okay. So we're going to start chapter 20. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayetzu, Kol B'nei Yisrael. And all of the B'nei Yisrael went out. Vatikael ha'eda ki'ish echad. And the Eda, population, gathered like one man. From Dan ve'ad Be'er Sheva, from Dan until Be'er Sheva, the Eretz HaGilad, El Hashem HaMitzvah. I left my papers in one of your... So they gathered in this place of mitzvah. Mitzvah, I think now that we have Mitzvah Rimon at the crater, and so it could be that this was some kind of valley or crater. But
a
watchtower,
yeah,
also?
Alright,
so there's some kind of tower. So this place, though, seems to be a choice place for gathering the people together. The Mefarshim refer to that they actually have gathered here before, and back in Sefer Yehoshua, and there was a Mizbeach there, it was an altar, it was a place of tefillah, and a place of gathering, and the reason was because back in the days of Yehoshua, there had been a great salvation there, which, as we said, wasn't so long before this, according to most commentaries. It says that they gathered El Hashem, to Hashem. So that what that means is that when you have a great gathering of the Jewish people, so the Shechina, the presence of Hashem, comes there as well. So the Shechina was with them. They gathered there. Vayitiyatzu Pinos Kol Ha'am. And Pasuk Beis, and they stood there, Pinos Kol Ha'am, the heads of the nation, Kol Shiftei Yisrael, all of the Shvatim in Israel, Bikal Am HaElokim, in the nation of Hashem, Arba Meos Eleh, Ish Ragli Sholei Farev. 400,000 foot soldiers, infantry, with carrying swords. So a very large army, 400,000 men, gathered from all different tribes of Israel. gathered together, and again, they're responding to the message, to the news of what had happened, and they're going to approach Binyamin about the people of Gibeah. Now, are the people who did this chai of Misa? Are the people who raped this woman, is raping a woman, a capital punishment? What's that?
Married woman?
Yeah. So, is it... So, okay, so right, now... So even that, is that punishable and basing? Right, it is. It's Aiden, so... Right, so you have to know if there were Edom here. This is also Pileges, so part of the Machlok is part of the dispute of what a Pileges is, whether she has Kiddushin or not. And the Mepharshim here seems to assume that she wasn't, they weren't actually Chai of Misa. The Ramban and the Malbim here, Ramban and Vayera and the Malbim here, but that at times you have to, the Beis Din, the Jewish court, or the king has a right to still, you know, put someone to death, to make a statement, to make a gather, to draw a fence, to stop something like this from happening again, and that's within their that's within their right. So as the so the Malbim actually entertains maybe the fact that they would be Chai of Misa because she died as a result, but he says no, not really, because it wasn't direct, it was indirect. She only died later from her weakness. But he ends up saying that still the Jewish people were responding, you know, that this was something done in public, a terrible act done in public. And such an act like this, he says, and such a large group of people, he says it's like an Ir HaNidachat, which is a city that's an idolatrous city, where we do destroy the city. So a similar thing here, you have a large group of corrupt people, and that as a people, even though there's no a king would be allowed to step into to exact punishment here. There was no king at the time, but as a people, as a gathering, a representation of the Jewish people at large, would also be allowed to exact a punishment in order to teach a lesson and make a statement. And he says that's why he says Vayetu Kol B'nei Yisrael, and all of Israel went out, because since there's no king, so it has to be a consensus of all of the representation of Israel in order to be allowed to carry out a punishment like this on their own, at their, you know, without a king to make such a call.
But under the interpretation that we also had interpretations that she was really more of wasn't fully married, but in fact was there with the idolatrous purposes, and the people who attacked her thought they were engaging in idolatry. If that was part of their intention, wouldn't they therefore might cross the line?
Are you commenting on something that I said, or something that
I think early on you mentioned something that's different alternative of what the woman was. Was she
So she was a Pileges, which is a concubine. Now, what exactly a concubine is debated among the early commentaries, and the main point hinges on whether there's Kiddushin, which is, the marriage has two parts. The Kiddushin is when the man acquires her, and then there's the Nisuin, which is when you bring her into the home, or the Chuppah part. So there's two, we do everything at the same time under the Chuppah, but it used to be that they would split up, they would do Kiddushin and then later Nisuin. So so according to some commentaries, a concubine, by definition, is a woman who lives in a married state without kiddushin. And others say that there is kiddushin. She just doesn't have ketubah. She doesn't have rights.
So I was thinking a different yana that there is an interpretation that she was involved in the zona, then, you know, you wouldn't even get to the question whether or not she was a concubine.
I know, so she was certainly a concubine, and then there's discussion, was she a zona?
In which case, if that was their intention, that the Benjamin people thought that was they were engaging in.
Uh-huh. So that's what she was, right, so...
And they might have crossed the line, that might be a
right, so actually, you're touching on something that does come up in the commentaries, which is part of the discussion of was she a zona or not, and the fact that there's such a strong response to protect her, to avenge her, is they bring as a proof that she must not have been a zona, really, because...
A zona doesn't have the right to say no?
They would assume that the way some commentators put it was that she would have been willing, and that in this,
even to the point of hemorrhaging to death.
Probably not.
You mentioned that this din is only possible because all the clothes are left together, and there's the coincidence that the same Osler Nesafi and then Kol B'nai Yisrael, and it seems like Binyamin was not involved in this.
Right. So that's a good question. They're definitely not involved.
One item can burn the whole city.
It could be that in this case where they're coming out against Binyamin, they're not really coming out against all of Binyamin, they're coming against a certain part of Binyamin, Giva. But it could be the Malvin is the one who says this, maybe understood that they couldn't involve Binyamin. They would be biased, that we're going to see, they're not going to be to agree. They're going to defend them.
But even if they haven't even understood it, why say Kol Tiffy is 12? Why send that name us and Mustafa?
What were the 12 if Binyamin wasn't part of it?
Well, you couldn't send one to Levi because they're scattered everywhere.
Right. Well, I could have said one to Benjamin, but they didn't show up.
They could have said it because they don't send one to Benjamin.
Right, so does he just say it's Lav Davka? B'chol Echad HaYuharba. Yes, I guess he assumes that they sent to Levi. I don't know. I mean, what does that mean? Yeah, I'm not sure. Right, it would make sense that they did. He's pointing out that the Stavid actually says that they didn't. But right, why assume that? Maybe it will come out from the Sukkim that it seems maybe that they weren't. He didn't send to them. I'm not sure. The Ramban, I think, take a look at the Ramban for a second to just recall exactly what he says. So he's similar to the what the Malbim will say later, the Ramban in Parshas Vayera. So he also says that basing a court has a right to be makin the onshin, to punish shalom in a Torah, just to make a guard, to make a fence, even if it's not an actual chiyuv nisa. And he says Binyamin did not agree. They felt that there wasn't a chiyuv nisa here, and the Ramban's going to say, we're going to see that the people of Israel are not going to be successful in this war at first, even though it seems that they're in the right here and they're avenging a terrible act, but they're actually going to get slammed at the beginning of this battle. And he says that that's because perhaps He says, first of all, Binyamin may have been upset that they were not asked. Ulai hikpidu od b'nei Binyamin asher lo shalchu lahem mitzvila v'asu haskama shalom yidaitam. The Ramban makes this point that perhaps Binyamin got upset that they weren't included in the decision of what to do with the people that are living in their territory. And he says that, perhaps the reason why, or he says actually in his opinion, was the reason why the Jewish people were punished, why they were, as we'll see, they first were losers in the battle, is because they carried out this judgment. It wasn't proper for them to do that, and they should have left it up to David Binyamin to exact the punishment on their own people. Shemitzvah ala shevet radon ashivta. It's a mitzvah on that shevet to judge the people of their tribe. So the Ramban sort of makes this point, brings out this point they should have consulted with Binyamin, they should have left it to Binyamin. Instead, they go out on their own and make all their plans on their own. Yeah.
Well, they weren't Federalists.
I don't know all the strict definitions of all this.
Yeah, you gotta be an American.
Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Verse 3. Vayishmu b'nei Binyamin, and the people of Binyamin heard, the Olu b'nei Yisrael ha-mitzvah, that b'nei Yisrael had, the people of Israel had gone up to mitzvah. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael, and the b'nei Yisrael said, Dabru, speak, Eichon yasa hara azot. Tell us, Binyamin. They sent a message to Binyamin, how could such an evil have befallen, have played out? Vayan ha'isha levi, isha ha'nirtzacha vayomar. And the levi, this man, who was protagonist, the main character in our story, he answered the husband of the woman who was murdered, and he said, Hagibas asher levinyamin, basi anu pilag shilalun, I and my pilagish, I and my concubine, we came to Giva in Binyamin to dwell. Vayakumo alai bale hagiva, and the people of the bale hagiva, the masters of Giva, got up upon me, vayasobu alai asabayis laila, and they surrounded our house at night. Osi dimo laharog, they wanted to kill me. Vespilakshi inu vatamos, and my pilagish, my concubine, they molested, and she died. Pasuk refers to them as Baalei HaGiva, the masters of Giva, so it's a specific group of people in Giva, and it's also seemingly the higher up, the Baalei, the masters, the wealthy or the powerful.
Heads of household?
What's that?
He spikes up the story.
Because he said they tried to kill me.
He said they tried to kill him, and then that doesn't say that there was a lot of people. He just
right.
Said he...
No, so I think we...
Reikin. Didn't we call them Reikin?
You're right. At the
yeah.
beginning, it called them Lawas. Anashim Reikin.
Yeah.
The Mefarshim, though, assume that, indeed, at least this point, that they were Baalei HaGiva was true, that they were they may have been empty and lawless, but they were also powerful and wealthy, and they bring that as sort of a defense for the, again, in comparing them to what happened in Sodom, why didn't the people, you know, if we're going to reason that, you know, here it wasn't as bad as Saddam because it was only a small group of people, well, why didn't anyone stop then at least? Well, they, you know, because they were powerful and they were the violent, it wasn't so easy to just stop them. So that's sort of a justification for the rest of the people of Gibeah for not stepping in, because these were the Baile of Gibeah, these were the higher up. So he goes on with the story, Pasuk Vav, Va'ochei Sipilakshi, and I held on to my concubine, Va'anatcheha, and I cut her up, Va'ashalcheha, Bechol Sedei Nachlas Yisrael, and I sent her to all the fields, all the inheritances, all the territories of Israel, the Asu Zima Univalva B'Yisrael, because they've done a Zima and a Nevala, two descriptions of a disgusting act. In the Parshim,
how are they supposed to tell us from getting body parts that, like, act?
Yeah, there must have been, and the Mepharshim say this, that you didn't just send body parts, you also sent, you know, some kind of message with it of what, you know, what had happened. What? Yeah. So,
Luca Brasi sleeps with fishes.
The horse head.
So, yeah. Well, they got the message, you know. So, fine. Hine Pasuk Zayin Kuchem B'nei Yisrael Havu Lachem Davar Ve'eitz Ha'alom. So the man says, this may have been part of his original message also, he says, all of you, people of Israel, take heed, you know, speak, and take etzah, take advice, discuss basically what the plan should be going forward. He refers to them as Kulchem B'nei Yisrael, all of you B'nei Yisrael. So the Mishnah David says that he was telling them, you know, you're the Am Kadosh, you're the holy nation, and this should be, in your eyes, this should be a terrible thing, and you should act. You should act now upon this. Also, the Malvin, you know, working within what he was saying before, that as all of Israel gathered together, gave them the din, the right of a king to exact justice on their own, and even if it's not din Torah, but in order to make a gather, to make a fence, to make a guarding. So the Malvin here says that he was telling them, Kuchem B'nei Yisrael, it's all of Israel here, you have the right to carry out a punishment like a king. And he said, Habu lachem davar, take this matter, discuss this matter. What he was saying was, come with a psak din, have a psak, make a ruling, and then the etzah, and then make a plan of how you're going to carry out that ruling. Just going back for a second, I meant to point out in Pasuk Beis, in verse 2, the Pasuk refers to them as Am HaElokim, the nation of God. Like, again, it's trying to bring out this idea. The Malbim says that they were Am HaElokim, they were gathering this terrible act had unfolded, and they gathered to, as the Am HaElokim, they're the nation of God, we need to respond and stamp out these types of actions. Just in the story, as we go through these psukim, so in Pasuk Gimel, where we said that the people of Binyamin, in verse 3, the people of Binyamin heard, so they right? They didn't. They heard the news that the people, that 400,000 men had gathered in Gilad, and they in that verse, going back to verse 3, it said, "Vayomer ben Yisrael dabru." The people of Israel said, "Echon yasar azos." They asked each other, "How could such an evil thing have happened?" So the way the Malbim learns is that, you know, the word traveled to Binyamin that they were asking these questions, that they were discussing this, and they heard everything that then unfolds in the next few seconds. So in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, like Yishmu b'nei Binyamin, that b'nei Yisrael went up to Mitzvah. And then all the rest is what they heard happen. They got news that all this thing happened, that they had said, "How could such an evil thing have happened?" And the man came forward and said, "You know, this was the exact story." And so they knew exactly what happened. What the pasuk is trying to bring out, according to Malbim, is that still they didn't ask. That Binyamin got word of all this that was going on, and still they wouldn't take action on their own. So on the one hand, as I mentioned, the Ramban was saying that perhaps that was Israel's mistake, was not including Binyamin. But the Malbim is saying that, you know, Binyamin really heard exactly what happened and sort of had the opportunity to do something, which we'll see more explicitly that they're going to come to defend the people of Gibeah, so they're going to go even further. But they could have taken the matter into their own hands, taken care of it. They could have come on their own to this gathering in Mitzvah. They knew that it was taking place. And yet, they didn't do either of those two things. Yeah. Okay. They thought. Okay. So that may be a justification. They thought they wouldn't be welcome. Well, we could put that on the Ramban side of things. Pasuk Chet. Vayakam kol ha'am ki ish echad lemar, and the entire nation got up as one man and said, "Lo nelech ish la'ahala v'lo nasur ish l'veso." No man should go back to his tent, and no man should desert to his house. We are going to, us 400,000 men, we're going to take care of this problem. Nobody go home. We're going to deal with it. The Atta Pasuk Tes, Zeha Davar, now this is the Magra Sher Nasa Lagiva, Aleha Begorol. This is what we're going to do. Using a lottery, we're going to determine which men will be the fighters, the infantry, and which ones will be the support, the food carriers, etc. We're going to decide that through a lottery. The Lakachnu. If you're
married,
yeah. So I'm not sure if I saw anything. Here they all seemingly gathered there. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a good question. Why didn't they?
Nobody leaves.
Right. Right. We had back earlier in Shoftim a whole episode involving that halacha. Why didn't they announce? You know, whoever planted a vineyard, built a house, and whoever is afraid of their sins, why?
Because they're not going out against non-Jews. I think so.
No, I think that was... Oh, it was by non-Jews. Was it... The discussion whether it applies by Mohammed's mitzvah also. So maybe we could go with that. There are those who say here that this was considered a milchemes mitzvah. What's that?
What would be?
So there's a discussion there. So that was defending Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the discussion there. Unless I'm going the wrong way with this, then it's the opposite. That you only
I'm saying
say
that applies only to foreigners, right?
What?
I'm saying that applies only to foreigners, war with foreigners.
I may be just totally backward, and it's the opposite, that it applies by Mohammed Yusuf, but not by a non-Mohammed Yusuf. I don't remember, so it's a good question. If I remember, I'll try to look into it. So, Pasuk Yud, V'lokachnu asara anoshim lameya l'chol shifte Yisrael, and we should take 10 men for every 100 out of all the Shvatim, umeya l'elef, and 100 for 1,000, v'elef l'rvavang, 1,000 for 10,000, v'kacha seda l'am, to bring food for the nation. I don't know why we need this whole, telling us what 10% is in different numbers here, but they're going to get 10 out of every 100 to carry the food. Lasso Tzavoam Legeva Binyamin, in order to for our coming to the Giva in Binyamin, Kichol HaMevola Asher Asa B'Yisrael, because of this terrible deed that was done in Israel. Vayeosef Kol Ish Yisrael El Ha'ir Ke'ish Echad Chaveirim. And all of the people of Israel gathered to the city as one man, Chaveirim, as friends. So Rashi here says, Chaveirim Shavim Be'etz Ha'achas, equal in one, with one etza, with one idea, one plan. Everybody was in agreement as to what the plan was going to be. The word chaveirim, we may be familiar with that we sometimes refer to a Talmud Chacham as a chaver. Someone, a righteous person, a Torah scholar, is sometimes referred to as a chaver. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga, which is talking about Tumah here, about whether a person is believed to say that he didn't touch or he didn't touch certain things to make them tamei or not. So the Mishnah says that in Yerushalayim, everyone is believed about whether they touch him, whether they touch foods that have, carbonos, that have kedusha, that if they would be touched by a tamei person, they would not be able to be eaten by anyone. And it says, and that the regel at the time of the shalosh regalim, they're even believed. Everyone is believed even about truma, even about tithes, which also have a kedusha. They're holy, and they could become tamei, and would have to be burnt if that would happen. So the Gemara wants to know, why are they believed about Truma? The Gemara says, Minahang Mili, how do we know that we could trust everyone about Truma at the time of the Regel? So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says in Shoftim, Perek Fah, Pasuk Yud Aleph, our Pasuk, Vayeaseh Kol Ish Yitzra La'ir, Ki'ish Echad Chaveirim, Hakasav Asan Kulon Echad Chaveirim, Kulon Chaveirim. The Pasuk refers to them all as Chaveirim, as Rashi there says. Rashi doesn't really elaborate on too much, but that what the Gemara seems to be saying is that they're Chaveirim. They have the status of a Chaver, of a Talmud Chacham, of when you have all the Jewish people gathered together, so that the Shiva, the environment, just changes a person. It improves us when we come together like that, for the Rego, for whatever it is. And we see in this verse that they all gathered together as chaverim, and they had a loftier status as a result of coming together. And the Gemara actually learns from this pasuk that even somebody who's not normally trusted about his actions with regards to tumah, touching truma or not touching it, at a time when everyone's gathered together, in this case, in the Gemara's case, the Mishnah's case, at the Ragel, at the Shalosh Regalim, when everybody comes to Yisraelayim, they all of a sudden have that status of being a chaver. The Marsha there quotes the Yerushalmi that learns the same thing from the pasuk Yerushalayim ha-benuya ki ir shechubra la yachta. The rebuilt Yerushalayim is like a city shechubra la yachta. I guess the Yerushalmi, right? Yerushalmi actually says shehu osek ho Yisrael chaverim. It makes everyone chaverim. And again, I think in this context it means chaverim, meaning like a Talmud Chacham, like trustworthy, as a result. And I saw another reference to this. I saw another reference to this from Musa of. Sorry, we're saying Musa from the Shalosh Regalim. We just said it. Kabit Nochina Me'arba Kampur Tzaret Chaverim Kol Yisrael. We say in Birkas Hakodesh. We should all be gathered together, so we said it yesterday, from the four corners of the world, chaverim kol Yisrael, that we're all friends, we're all, but also, I think, all talmidei chachamim, that we all will raise each other up when we come together like that, and that's what happens here.